and give him that great praise here today. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. How great is our God. How great is our God. What an honor it is to be here today, tonight. And I am humbled, honestly, to share with you to be here in these next few short but so important hours. And kind of feel like John the Baptist. I hope that you don't leave disappointed. I don't know what you come to see. I'm a little smaller than Brother Larson. I'm a little shorter than Brother Larson. But I do pastor close to Brother Larson, so maybe that'll buy me some leeway here today. Amen. It's an honor to be here. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy sharing the good news of Jesus. I enjoy breaking the word down, trying to understand it better. I like to get it for myself. I don't think I can give what I don't have. It's hard to impart something you don't possess. So my life's work is to understand the word, to fall in love with the word. My life's work is to eat daily from the word of God. But there are fewer things in life that excite me. Brother Hacker Brooks, good to see you, sir. Amen. Fewer things in life that excite me than what we're going to do here for the next 48 hours or so. And that is to take that immutable, infallible, powerful word of God and share it with men. There's no more powerful group in the world than God's men. We're not degrading the weaker vessel, but there's a reason they're called the weaker vessel, and I hope they can hear me back there. Amen. They are dangerous vessels, but they are weaker vessels. They are violent vessels, but they are weaker vessels. There is a difference. When you talk to God's men, something can happen. Something must happen. I agree with our friend testifying tonight. This is it. And if we don't wake up and get it, we're never going to get it. But I just got a feeling by the time our last amen is done, God is going to breathe upon us. And my prayer is divine understanding. I've not come to impress you with my knowledge nor my intellect, though I will try. But I do want to leave you better. I do want you to walk out of here tonight saying, you know what? I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. I'm better. If nothing else good happens, I'm better by coming tonight. Amen. I give honor to all the leadership here tonight. It's an honor to be here. Brother Parrish, your superintendent, your secretary, men's ministry, my friends walked in here and feel at home. Amen. Feel at home. Even Brother Sanders from the great state of Ohio is here tonight. And a friend of mine. Amen. Give him honor in Jesus' name. Praise God. And one of my closest and dearest friends, Brother Jim Blackshear, it's always good to be with him, and it's always a treat and an honor. And then the icing on this great, big, glorious, fattening cake is that I get to be in service for the next few days with my son, whom the great state of Alaska has claimed, but I plan on getting him back sometime, hopefully in Jesus' name. Amen. But proud of him, and I'm just thrilled that he's in Alaska. That was an honest statement. That wouldn't get you to like me. I'm thrilled that he's here. Amen. Take good care of him in Jesus' name. Amen. There is so much. There's so much. Now, this is where it gets dangerous. There's a lot I want to say. And we only got 4 sessions. And I'm not one known for sermonettes. I'm not one known for getting in a hurry. So if you're hungry, I hope you brought some breath mints or a hot dog or something, because this is men's conference. And we're just going to dig in a while. I feel such a holy anointing. And I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about Peter's revelation. I want to talk to you about Athaliah's revelation. I want to talk to you about Nehemiah's revelation. And that don't leave much more to talk to you about anything else, but there's a whole lot more I want to talk to you about. But we're going to start tonight by the help and the grace of God, and I want to weave these next, my contribution, I want to weave tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, I want to weave them all together, lay a foundation tonight, try to get you intrigued, Let the light of revelation flow. And don't judge me harshly if it don't all make sense tonight. Be here tomorrow and see what God will help us with. Amen. Brother Churchill, it's good to see you, sir, always. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm trying to be nice, and I don't know how to be nice. At this stage of the game, I feel like we've played nice for so long, the devil's using it against us. I feel like we've been the most passive Pentecostals of any generation. I feel like we're a little weak on authority and dominion. You can say amen or oh me, but it's not going to stop it. We need to man up. We really do. Don't let me offend you. We're on the same team. We're on the same team, but we've got to man up. We have got to understand our place in the kingdom of God. We've got to understand who we are, where we're going. And we've got to understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That is not just a Pentecostal lollipop. That is a fact. We are not a bunch of weak, powerless, prayerless, anemic, lacking of anything, lacking of all things, Pentecostal people. But we really are the bride of Christ. We really are the apple of his eye. Everything that God's going to do in the end time, he's going to do through you. Well, let's examine this for a little while here tonight. And I hope I can weave it all together for you. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without. Would you say it with me? And the earth was without form. And it was void. Now get this. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face. And darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God upon the face of the waters. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the. I'm being very redundant for a reason. So God creates the heaven and the earth, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves, it hovers, it broods, moves upon, and the next thing you know, there's waters. You with me? Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and in darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And if you continue this train of thought, if you continue the Genesis account, there are four other occasions where God's word or the voice of God was heard, and he spoke, and something happened. I want to talk to you tonight. And I hope that revelation will flow, understanding will baptize us. But I want to talk to you about everything you need is in the dark. Everything you need is in the dark. But somebody has to learn to turn the light on. And the masters of the light switches are those in this place tonight. Father, I love you. I worship you. Help me tonight, God. Touch my mind, my body, your spirit. Let it flow deep. God, move us closer. Help us to become the people, the man, destiny upon us, Lord. We love you. We glorify you. Would you clap your hands and really give God great praise? Hallelujah. 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 Glory. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, if you'll just let me take a journey through here for the next few minutes, and I think we can have some fun and get along good. But most of all, I think the Holy Ghost is going to help us here tonight. Amen. I love to preach about the Genesis account. I like to talk about creation. I like to talk about how it was in the beginning. To truly understand who we are in the end time church, to truly understand the book of Acts church, you can't just start in the book of Acts. You don't read the Pauline epistles. You don't really start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You go back to the Exodus account. You go back to the building of the original man, Abraham, the covenant, the promises. So if you really want to know how to love God, live for God, and make heaven, start in the Old Testament. For this was given for our example. For these things were written unto us, that we would know how not to commit the same error or the same sin or the same folly that Israel did. So when I want to learn how to move forward, I must learn to look back. Will you work with me just a minute? So if I plan on exceeding, if I plan on making it, if I plan on being victorious, I must not only look at my present tense, I must not only look at where the church is headed, but I've got to have enough intellect and understanding to look back. For in looking back, it sets me on a course not to fall again as Israel fell of old. So when I follow the teachings or the leading, the direction, the wanderings of Israel in the Old Testament, it teaches me. It teaches me what not to do. It teaches me what to do. It teaches me what will bring blessings and what will bring curse. So in understanding, I enjoy the Exodus account. I enjoy preaching and teaching about how God raised Moses up, how God set Israel into Egypt 400 plus years. God knew when they were going in, and God knew when they were coming out. Moses didn't determine the deliverance of God's people. Abraham did. God spoke to Abraham, and he said, there's going to come a time, but it's only going to last 400 years, and you shall go in, but you're also going to come out. You're going to go in, but you're also going to come out. We are men of destiny. We are men of purpose. We think that the kingdom of God is really all about us, but it's really not. God's going to have a church in my city, whether I'm there or not. God's going to have a church in your city, whether you're there or not. God's purpose will always be fulfilled. God's not in trouble. The church is not weak nor anemic. God's purpose will always come to pass. I said God's going to have greatly anointed, fervent men in the end time. Amen. And so I look back, and I like the Genesis account. I like the Sunday school version of the Genesis account. I like how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth without form and void. The Spirit of God hovered, it brooded, it moved upon, it spoke, things happened. And that was the end of the first day. And yet the second day starts with the same as the first. And so we have what we call 6 days of creation. But if you will allow me just a moment here tonight to walk you through the book of Genesis, or at least the first chapter. If I understand Genesis right, stay with me. If I understand Genesis right, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe that? The problem, or where we have allowed ourselves to think a certain way, is that he only created heaven and earth, and that was it. And then God come back on the second day, and he again created something else. And then the third day, I know I'm stretching your thinking right now. I'm getting that look like you preaching false doctrine, dude. But if you will read Genesis chapter 1, you will find that in the very first verse, God created everything. God set it into order. God placed it where it was supposed to be. And then he set into order the principle of creativity. He set into order what must be understood if things are going to be unlocked, if things are going to be allowed to shine, or if things are going to be allowed to be set where they're supposed to be set. Are you with me right now? So Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I contend that any time throughout the scripture that God got ready to do something great, the first thing he did was mask it in darkness. See, we are part of a generation, and I had so much. I even had some slides I was going to bring and try to talk to you about the end time and the pressure of men. But you know what the fact of the matter is? Until we truly understand who we are, it doesn't matter what era we live in. I'm going to make that more plain. And so God creates the heaven and the earth, and he masks it in the dark. When I start from Genesis and I go all the way to the book of Revelation, I find God's greatest works involved darkness. But in the darkness is where he created or where he operated at his highest level. Darkness is not a bad thing if you know where the light switch is. Darkness is not as bad as it appears if you know how to reverse the curse of darkness. If you know that the Spirit of God is moving or brooding upon something and has divinely decreed what must be, then it's easy for a man who was created by the same voice. Let's talk about it. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou crown him with glory and honor, that you visitest him? When I consider the work of thy hand, the moon, the earth, the stars, which thou hast ordained, I just simply want to know, when I look at all the creation that you spoke into existence, but I look at man that you formed out of dirt, I want to know the contrast between that created being and the things that you spoke into existence. The difference between the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the birds and the fowl, and the oceans and the creeks, and all that we call creation or earth or heaven, as it was spoken into existence. God just simply said, let there be, and there was. But when God came to man, not woman, when God became to man, when God looked at masculinity, he said, I'm going to do you different than anything that will live upon my earth. I am not going to speak you into existence. I am going to blow something in you so that there would be nothing. You better hear me right now, sir. There is nothing in this earth like God's men. Look at the sun. Isn't it majestic? Look at the Milky Way, the Northern Lights. Go to the oceans. Go to Yosemite. Stand on the beaches in Hawaii. Wherever you go, you may marvel at the handiwork of God. But that was easy for God. He just said, let it be, and it was. He just opened up his mouth and said, this is what it's going to be, and it will always be that way. But when he come to man, he drew man with his finger. And man had a form or potential, but man could never reach his full potential until he was breathed upon or touched by the Spirit of a living God. And when man was breathed upon, the Bible says, he then became a, I'm sorry, he then became a, we're not living yet, man became a living soul. And what was Adam's first objective? What did God decree for Adam to do? He said, take what I have created, and I'm going to mandate that you name. See, let me just lay the groundwork for what I want to accomplish here in 3 or 4 more services. I want to convince you that you are the missing ingredient to the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that this northern continent has ever felt or witnessed. I appreciate women conference, and we're gonna have one here next week. I appreciate the conferences. I appreciate where our women. I appreciate everything that they do. I appreciate their role in the church. But let me just tell you, brother, there's nobody like you. I really want you to get with me now, because you're going to get really quiet in a few minutes. There's nobody like you. There's nothing like you. As glorious as creation is, and that's what David stood back and marveled, when I look at all of this, who am I? What am I? I'll tell you what you are. You are joint heir. I'll work on you just a minute. You are co-equal. We're going to get uncomfortable, this terminology, I know. But Jesus looked at us and said, you're just what I am. I am no different than you. Let me challenge your thinking right now. Jesus turned to his disciples and says, you think this trick is cool? You'll do greater than this. How can we do greater than with a lesser anointing?
I'll say it again. How can I do greater than the works of Jesus Christ if I operate under a lesser anointing? I am not less than Christ.
Come on, clap your hands and give him praise. I'm really not teaching false doctrine. But this is how far our thinking has evolved. And we are contrary to what we were divinely created to be. We are not powerless. Let me paint creation for you. God said, let it be. And if I understand everything correctly, everything was created then. But it was masked in darkness. And it was only when the Spirit of God visited again that he had already created and divinely ordered it. He said, let it be, and it was. But it could not be seen because it was in the dark. And so the Spirit of God hovered or brooded upon that. And anytime God opened up his mouth and said, let it be, if you follow the end result, it says, and it was so. It was not new again to God. He had already placed it there. But he wanted the principle to be understood. When I order something, it is already there. All it takes is somebody with the spirit of creation that can come back to it and say, you may be in the dark. You may be in confusion. It may not be visible now, but that doesn't mean I don't know you're there. And all that's waiting on is a God-anointed man to say, let there be. Darkness, gross darkness, was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God. That's what it really means. Hovered, fluttered, brooded. It rested upon top of it, and it rested there. Am I right? Rested above what? Everything. Spirit's waiting on the church. Church is not waiting on Spirit. Okay. I told you I'm going to stretch you. Is that all right? Matthew 16, the greatest of revelations. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Who told you that? It wasn't flesh and blood, but it was brooding, waiting on somebody to speak into existence what was already in the dark. Isn't that what John said in John 1? He was the light. The light shineth into, and the darkness comprehended it not. But as to as many that did. Right? So the Spirit of God was hovering, and he paused and said, I'm already here. You can't see me because you're masked in darkness. But I'm here. Who am I? Elias, no. Jeremiah, no. No. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou. Boy, I feel the... If there's anything that ought to get the apostolic church excited, it's anybody talking about the oneness of God. We do not serve a fictitious triune deity. We serve God manifested in the flesh, justified, seen of angels, preached and delivered. We serve the God of the Old Testament who became the Jesus of the New Testament. Does anybody still believe to wit God was in Christ? Does anybody still believe to wit God was in Christ? God was in Christ. God in. You ought to be clapping your hands. You ought to be running. You ought to be talking in tongues. There is no other greater revelation. If I could sing,
We'd start singing, it's all in him. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead. And it's all in him. Well, it's all in him. It's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. Do we believe that? That's what we are. We are not triune. We are not Trinity. We don't believe in the co-equal, co-eternality of God. We believe that the voice that said, let there be, and it became so, is the same voice that said, who am I? My God, have mercy. He looked at Abraham and he said, you go, he looked at Moses and said, you go tell Moses or Pharaoh, I am. Just look at him and say, I am. You are what? I am. But that don't make sense. What are you? I am. What I'm trying to get you to understand is I am. I am the question and I am the answer. I am the beginning and I am the ending. I am the first and I'm going to preach it till you get excited about it. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am the ending. I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I am the Lily of the Valley, the bright, the morning star, the fairest of 10,000. I am the ever-living, the only living, the self. Come on, Pentecostal men. We serve a living God. He's not dead. He's not in trouble. He's still God. 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 Hallelujah. God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still alive. How do you know? Because I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. God's not dead. He's alive. What a revelation. What a revelation. Jesus stood in the New Testament. They were questioning me. He said, before Moses was. Think about that. Before Moses was, past tense. I still am, present and past tense. They looked at him like, you lost your mind. It's impossible for you to be here and there. And Jesus winked at him and said, only in your world. Because I step into your world to deal with your time. I am eternal. What I am, I will forever be. I remember as a kid growing up in the Boot Hill of Missouri, we'd sing those old songs, them ladies. My God, things would come out of their hair. If you're a new convert, you're going to have to just bear with me a minute. I didn't know you could put things like that in hairdos. Any of you remember what I'm talking about? I mean, they take things and put on top of their head. And pull that hair up. I'm supposing that the higher the hairdo, the more anointing. They get to singing them old songs. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his amazing grace. On the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice, cares of past, home at last, ever. Over in the glory land, won't we have it? Oh, and they'd start shouting and talking in tongues. And then my pastor would walk up there and he'd preach the oneness of God inside out, upside down, right, left. And the place would shake. It was almost like a roller coaster ride growing up back when. And I'm not that old, but back when. Because churches knew. When you started talking about Jesus, now you have to entice people. There is no greater revelation. I'm just going to tell you right now, there is no greater revelation than the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. But may I work on your thinking a minute. It's not just about who he was. See, everything to do with God is tripart except God. He manifested himself as the Father. He is, was, will be. He is the Son. He is the Spirit. But he's also the Lily of the Valley, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you know. But when you talk about God, you've got to look at God in three parts. You say death.
burial, resurrection. Am I right? That's how you get God. You got to die. And what do? To dead bodies? You got to be buried. We're buried with him in. But we're not just about dying and burying, are we? My God, we got to be like him. We've got to do like him. Let's don't weaken repentance. Let's don't weaken burial. And for God's sake, let's don't weaken the resurrection. And so God looked at us and said, you got to know who I am in order for you to become the church that I need you to be. Watch me. He's getting ready to leave. Right? And he's looking at disciples and he's saying, if I'm going to leave here and leave you with power, you have to understand the source of power. Am I right? Don't let me err from truth here. And he says, who am I? And they said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, oh. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And history and the scripture teaches us that he identified who Peter was by saying, thou art Simon, help me, Barjona, you are son of. So Peter looked at Jesus and said, I know who you are. And Jesus says, got you, dog. I know who you are. I feel you. I'm picking up what you're laying down. We on the same page. You know me, I know you. Sounds like Jesus teaching when he said, my sheep know my. I am the shepherd, you're the sheep. You can't get into my sheepfold lest you know me. But doesn't stop there. I got to know you. Am I still in the book? So the principle is we know him. That's what got the church where it is today. We know him. There's power in the name. There's healing in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's salvation in the name. But he said, I know you. What a revelation. To know that he knows me. Bo, he knows us. He ain't looking. Look. In Romans where he said, whom he foreknew, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. There's twice there the word called is there, right? Two times the same word is mentioned, but it's not the same word. The first time it's mentioned, it is a collective call. It would be, I would say, let's all stand. And all of you would stand. That's the first call. But the second call, I would look at Brother Sanders and I would say, Brother Sanders, would you stand? It is an individual call. So when God gets ready to predestinate, call us, glorify us, justify us, he'll call us all. But he says, you got to understand how much you mean to me in this purpose. So I'm going to call you by your individual name. I want to single you out. I want you to know you mean the world to me. Okay? He knows me. I don't know if that excites you like it excites me. President Obama doesn't know me. Brother Parrish, a few years ago when President Bush was in office, I was asked to go sit in on a briefing, and I got to go to the White House, got to meet the president, and, man, I thought I was the cat's meow. I mean, I still got the letter. I've got all the paperwork. It's a cool fact. But you know what? Though he don't know me. I mean, I stood there smiling bigger than anybody. I stuck out my hand trying to get him to shake. I was just one more among many. And that's a frustrating thing to want to be known. And that's why twice he said, you're never overlooked. Oh, God, help me tonight. You're never overlooked. You mean so much to me. Watch me. Do not misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. The oneness of God does not work until you know him. My sheep know my voice. A stranger, they won't hear. I'm known of them, and they are known of me. What a relationship. Do you realize that when you bow your knee, close your eyes, or you just stand up and shout Jesus, he's not hearing you in a general call, but he understands the tone of your voice. He understands exactly who you are when you pray. You're not one among many. You are the only one of many. And here we go.
This is what I feel mandated to talk to the men of Alaska about. We've got this mentality among us that we are secluded, so we are excluded. That we're just part of something minute and insignificant. And if I can just get to heaven, that's going to be good enough. Hogwash. That's a Missouri term. Hogwash. You were called for a divine purpose. You have destiny upon your life. You are not average in the kingdom of God. I don't care if your church is 5 or 55. I don't care if your city's 1 million or 10. It's irrelevant to God. He called you by name. You mean something to God. Hallelujah. My God, I got to hurry. Okay, thank you, I will. If you'll stay with me, I'll stay with you. All right. We'll come back later. Okay, back to you. He knows us. I mean, he knows me. My God, he knows me. The dude that walks on water. Now, that may not trip you out, but it trips me out. Brother Churchill, when Jesus walked to the graveyard of Lazarus, and he lifted up his voice and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was, you sure? Well, how does dead people hear? See, that's what trips me out. Because death doesn't stop God. Even in death, they hear. Because men was made different. And he that was dead. What a story. But hang on. Do a little biblical research. And do you know there was more than one Lazarus dead? But they didn't come forth. And Jesus didn't say Lazarus of Lazarus who was birthed by Lazarus who was born and died. He just said, you know who I'm talking to. Get up. I don't care how dead your situation is. I don't care how far gone your wife, your family, your boys, your girls, your grandma, your mom, your dad. I don't care how dead your church, how dead your city, how dead your dream, how dead your vision. Can I just be evangelistic a minute? That's irrelevant. If you ever let God speak, here we go. The missing ingredient is the voice of God. We preach without it. And now here we go. We preach without it. We live for God without it. We build churches without it. We deliver sermons without it. I made up my mind, if I never preach another cute sermon, and I'm being honest with you, if I never impress people with my oratory ability, it becomes irrelevant. I have got to relay a voice. When I stand before you these next 3 services, I need you to know that nothing is more important to me than conveying the voice of God. Nothing. 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 Who am I? You're the Messiah. You're God. Thank you, Simon Bar-Jonah. If the revelation was only about us knowing him, Peter should have got the keys. If the revelation was only about us knowing him and him knowing us, Peter should have got the keys. But it took 3 parts to the whole. I know you. You know me. And then he says, and I say 1 word, 4 letters, also. What a powerful word. And I say also that thou art Peter. Watch me. I know who your daddy is. That's what he said when he said, Simon, but John, I know who you come from. I know your dad. I know your grandpa. I know the neighborhood you grew up in. But that's not knowing me. See, I know Jesus is the mighty God, and I'm convinced the mighty God knows me. But the greatest or the equal part of the revelation of the mighty God is the revelation of who we are with the revelation of who he is.
You know when Peter got the keys? When Jesus knew him, he knew Peter. And Peter knew Peter. See, we got it mastered. We've perfected the songs about the oneness of God. We preached phenomenal sermons about, you got up and helped me preach when I was preaching about the oneness of God. Now, let me show you something just as powerful. You are the anointed flesh of Jesus Christ. You are co-equal with the Son of God. How come you're not jumping on that? Because we don't believe it. And that's why we don't have keys. See, we're supposed to bind and loose. Boy, I'm getting looks like Brother Churchill. Okay. If you're with me, I feel good. We got this deal. We'll come to church and we'll sing all about. I know I'm gonna sweat it out. Don't worry about me. We sing all about Jesus. We sung about him tonight. We all kumbaya. But how about when this brother stands up and says, I'm going to give it everything. I'm not leaving here like I came. What if we took it a step further and said, I'm going to speak things. Oh, no. Preacher, now preacher, look, hey, listen. All right? Let me preach. That's our problem. We love Jesus being great. And we like the fact, and we get real excited when Jesus knows us. But everything that God was hinged upon. It is determined by you knowing who you are. So after the revelation of God, God and Peter, and Peter knowing who Peter was, he then said, and unto you I give the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever, listen, brethren, and whatsoever. Ever. How come our posture, I know, oh my God, you may not want me back tomorrow morning. How come our posture is every time we come to churches, we stand here and wait on Jesus? Watch me, preachers preach, we come to the altar and we go. And we just wait. Because our traditions have taught us that everything from God cometh down. Only until it comes down. But it won't come down again. Just chew. You can swallow that. Just chew. You see, he's not coming back again except to take the church out of here. He was crucified once and for all. That's never going to happen again. You know why Moses got in trouble? Because he smote the rock again. And Jesus said, no, that one's enough. See, once I come to you, once I empower you, that's it. Wherefore God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or, powerful stuff, isn't it? Watch me. Wherefore God, shout God. God, say it again, God is able. How many believes that God is able to heal cancer? When is the last time you took oil and anointed somebody? Here we go. Well, God can. Yes, he can. Wherefore, God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Above all, I ask, I think. Somebody just said it. According to the power, worketh in what? So our posture is waiting on Jesus. Every time I get a chance to cap on this song, I cap on this song. I hope I never meet the author. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost. Right? Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. And Jesus is standing up there, if that's possible. And he's going, can't. And we're saying, come down, Jesus, we need you. And he's saying, already did. We need deliverance. Already gave it to you. We need healing in this place. Already purchased it. Well, where is it? It's in you. And until you let me out, anybody feel that? That's the spirit working against the darkness. That's the brooding power of the Almighty God. I can't until you open up your mouth. I can't until you speak. I can't until you decree it. Because then I said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So I have built something that I have invested everything that I have into it. But I put a contingency in the church. I said, greater works than these shall ye do. But until you open up your mouth and you speak to the dark. See, I'm tired of darkness invading the church. You know, men are are crazy. We think our wives are. We're a little crazy too. If you hurt a man, you're done. Boy, it got quiet. This is not therapy. This is just Holy Ghost. It's going to be okay. You know, you tell your wife something. You get in that moment. You know, you got that moment, and she somehow talks you into submission. Some of you not married, you don't know what I'm talking about. What's that, babe? Yes, I'm listening. Is it ever going to end, God? Is it ever going to stop? How can any one person so cute talk so much, God? Yes, honey, I'm listening. What was that? They get you to the place where they break you down. Your wife's not here. You can be honest with me. It's okay. Come on, dog. And you open up and you say, well, there is something I want to share with you. Yeah, some of you know. You already know. You're already there. And you share and you say, you know, this is what I feel. And, you know, you take the door of that heart and you open just a little bit and they walk in and, boy, they just start moving things. And you're like, I didn't tell you to move that. Why are you rearranging my heart? Leave that. No. Oh, God. What a mistake. So you begin to talk. You know, you tell them something that bothers you. You share with them a weakness of your flesh. You share with them whatever the issues are. And you think things are good. Oh, dear God. And then a day later or a month later, a year later, you know, if you don't have these, you're not being honest. You have that squabble. And she ticks you off. Or you tick her off. Probably she ticks us off. They're not here. We can blame it all on them. And it gets heated. And you rise with authority. And you plan on speaking. And she brings up that thing that you confided in her. And she uses it like a ball bat. And it does something to a man that nothing else will. It causes him to step back. And shut that door and say, the safest thing for me is to never speak. Now, I'm going to lead you into divine order. I'm going to try to show you some dangerous things tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. But speaking is the greatest tool a man has. So why aren't we so quiet? How many is full of the Holy Ghost here tonight? If you're not, we're going to get you. We're supposed to be full of the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in it, be led of it, right? And we're supposed to be co-equal. We're supposed to be joint heirs. Jesus is our elder brother, led us in the way of all things, right? So the pattern is there. The pattern is there. And so Jesus is being tempted. Anybody ever been tempted? You hypocrites. Don't sit there mumble at me. My God. Boy, I want to go for broke on that one, but I'll save it for later. You've been tempted. And Jesus taught us when the devil come to tempt him three times. The first time, the Bible says that he quoted. He said, "It is written." And the devil left. Right? What happened next? What happened? He came back. And so the second time, he tempts the Lord, and the Lord quotes, and he leaves. And then what happens? He came back. The third time, he comes back, and Jesus is quoted as saying this: "It is said." And the devil left and has yet to come back. There is nothing as authoritative nor such as dominion taking, prison opening, chain breaking, whatever you want to call it, as when a man understands who he is and doesn't quote his pastor, doesn't quote dad, but understands that in his vocal cords is a key or a piece of dynamite that can absolutely annihilate anything hell throws at me. But it is our tendency to hush. Look in our churches, who's the most vocal? It's not our men. Look in our prayer rooms, it's not our men. It is the femininity of the kingdom. They are the most vocal because they've learned the power of talk. They can talk the devil to death. Come on, you know it's true. Don't sit there and be a hypocrite now. There's time. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't say this stuff. I probably won't say it. Y'all going to get me in trouble. Don't hold back. Yeah. Okay. You slick talker, you talked me right into it. So, power, the power is in the tongue. So, the darkness is there. The darkness has covered it all. And so, Jesus, the mighty God, looks back upon what he has spoken. And he visits again that was masked in the dark. And he says, "Let the firmament be divided." Read down through there. When he visits again, it is the dividing of or the placement of, not the creation of. Because everything God did when he created heaven and earth. So everything that we are part of was ordered by the voice of God that he pulled out of something that was pre-existent. Up on the first decree, let there be, and there was. And the hovering Spirit of God moved upon the masked darkness. Are you with me? And he said, we need the waters to be high and low. We need mountains to stand up and valleys to lay down. Read down through there. He creates it, and then he hovers above it. And it is when it was hovered above the brooding that the Spirit of God visited and spoke into order. The reason why our, if I can just be bold, the reason why our churches are in such chaos, the reason why our homes are in such chaos. See, I didn't get anything there. It's okay to curse the church, but you don't curse the home. But you don't have a church if you don't have a home. There's no such thing as a church until first you're home. And there's no such thing as a home until you're first a man. That's Old Testament doctrine. He didn't create the church first. He created Adam first. He went to Abraham first. The covenant was with the man, to his house, to the nation. He built one to bring the other
to complete the rest. Our churches are made up of our homes. Our homes are made up to the men that I'm preaching and teaching to tonight. God help us. The reason there's such chaos, the reason there's such darkness, the reason there's such confusion is because we have allowed the enemy to convince us that we have no power. And it does us no good to speak. But the problem is, if you don't speak, you're guaranteed to lose. Now, when I get into this, I'm going to come back and visit this, but let me try to close with this. If you go down through, oh boy, am I going too long? It's still light outside. It may be light till midnight here. Really, I can preach till it gets dark. That's cool. Let me come back in July. All right. And God created. So God created man, 27. And God created man, say man, in his image. You got to repeat because some of you going to think this is false doctrine. Just, I guarantee you right now you're going to think it's false doctrine, but it's not. And God created man in his image. In the image of God, created he, him, male, and, now, hear me out. When Adam was created, he was created feminine and masculine. And this brother stood up tonight, and I concur 100% now. He's not feminine. And I pray to the good Lord I'm not feminine. You know, I'm not a woman. Praise the Lord. Almost got in trouble there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. That checking power. So he creates man and he says, I'm going to create you in my image. I'm going to create you just like me. Right? Because that is the image of God. He is total. He's complete. Nothing's lacking. And so he made man, the first Adam, to be just like him. And he looks at Adam, and Adam's naming the animals and all. Follow the first and the second chapter, and then he revisits Adam. Right? But in Adam was femininity and masculine. Now, I don't believe he had sexual organs, but I do believe he was both male and both female because that's what God was. Hang on. I know. I told you. I warned you. You're going to think it's false doctrine. And so he looks at Adam, and Adam's saying, that's a buck, that's a doe, that's a deer, that's an elk, that's a moose, that's a bear, that's salmon, Alaska terms, that's a mosquito. And God looks and says, it's not good for man to be. He needs a helpmeet. Watch me. Here's the difference between you, sir, and your wife. God didn't create her. He pulled her out of you. He separated feminine from masculine because it was in him, and he said, it's not good. You're too much like me, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate you, and I'm going to make her all feminine. And him all masculine. Watch me. But you shall desire her. She. Do we go there? She'll desire you. And you too will spend the rest of your lives trying to become one again. Your job in the earth is to become one with her. And the only way you can become one with her is through the act of sex. Divine intimacy. I know. I said that S-E-X word in Pentecost. It's like preaching about money in Pentecost. You don't say sex nor money, they'll curse you. I mean, he said sex.
God forbid, he says, money. The two things that God gave the church to enjoy, we know the least about and talk the least about. And so he made man. I'm sorry, Brother Parrish. I humbly apologize. No, I don't. I don't. I really don't. He says it's not good. He separates. And he says, you're going to be one with her. She's flesh of your flesh. She's bone of your bone. You'll desire her. She'll desire you. You will always chase her. She'll always run. And then, something entered the garden. Then something introduced himself. And he said, what's up? He wanted to talk. I don't know if you got it or not, so I'll just wait. He wanted to talk. The thing the femininity needs the most is the voice. The thing that will empower her and unloose her is for the man to speak to her. And so Satan comes along and he's... And she's like, finally, somebody that can talk. Whew. I think this is a good place to pause and come back in the morning. Start playing. I close my Bible. Look, folks, it doesn't mean anything, but you'll think it does. He starts talking, and he says, hey, did God say that in the day that thou eatest of the tree that thou shalt surely... He didn't lie. He just asked. He carried on the conversation. That's it. He just had a conversation. I just want to talk to you. Did God say that in the day you eat of that, you'll be like him and you'll die? Is that really what God said? He changed that explanation point into a question mark. He didn't change it. He just bent it. It's a good way to put it, isn't it? And so she's having a conversation, and he says, "Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. All you got to do is eat the fruit, and you won't need God." Am I still in the book? And so the Bible says that she ate. And what's the next part of that verse say? And she turned and gave also. So my question, and I know you're intelligent, you're already there. I'm just stating the obvious. My question is, what business did the femininity of the church have having a conversation with anything that was not divine, of nature, purpose, destiny? You see, I'm contending, and please don't let me insult you, we got a long way to go. But I'm contending on this first service that the bigger issue with us is not lack of holiness. It's not how we dress. It's not that we eat cheeseburgers. It's not that we don't fast enough. It's not just that we don't pray enough. It's not that we don't worship enough. It's the men are just too quiet. That's it. We'll just sit there and we'll let our pastors beat their brains out. We'll let them sacrifice all. We'll let them give all. We'll let them preach over and over and over and over about a committed life, a fasted life, revival, evangelism, soul winning, Bible studies. And we just sit there because we've learned. If we're going to protect our heart, we can't say anything. Because if you ever speak something and it gets thrown back in your face because it doesn't happen, it causes a man to feel things that we are so uncomfortable feeling. I hope you're with me right now. I'm done. And if Adam, come here, brother piano player. you're going to play Eve. I don't think you look like her. I don't think you dress like her. You're just going to play the part. If Adam would have been in his place, see, this is not where men belong. Is this okay? I don't want to insult you, but this isn't where men belong. See, she can talk to anybody if we're here, but the posture of a man, she is of me. You don't talk to her unless you talk to me. You don't even look at her. You look at me. She's safe behind me because she is me. And until men get in their rightful posture in the church and say, devil, you have no business carrying on a conversation with my wife. You have no business. You are out of order. You should not, help me, you shouldn't even be here. Why are you in my garden? But here's what we do. Hell comes against, God help me right now. Hell comes against our pastors. Hell comes against the church. Hell comes against our homes. And men do what we have become trained to do. We withdraw. Where we ought to stand together united and stand beside each other and say, there is no more powerful entity in all of the known universe like you and I are. We don't need many. We just need to agree. We're going to come against hell. We're going to combat hell. We're going to war against the principalities and the powers. Brother, there's nothing like you. There's no voice like your voice. There's... I know what it's like, and I'll be very quick with this. I know what it's like to have hell walk in my house, have hell walk through my family, have hell walk through my church, and you get the feeling like there's just not much I can do. And you get beat on so much, and you feel like there's no recourse. I'm convinced if Adam would have found his voice, we'd still be in the garden. I'll make that make more sense tomorrow. We'd still be in the garden. If Adam, he didn't have to war. He didn't have to have a bomb. He didn't have to shoot the devil. All he had to do, Rev, was speak. Just speak. Why? Why? Because that's God's creative process. He sets things, and then he turns the light off. And he says, until the voice that spoke it. Let me, I know you're standing, and I'm not trying to hold you beyond, but do you know why Jesus turned to his disciples and said, and ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be cast into. You know why? Because God created that. And when men speak with the voice of God, anything created recognizes the voice of the Creator. I'm convinced there's devils in our houses that have built kingdoms, and we're convinced we have to coexist with them. You don't have to go home and kick. You don't have to go home and scream. You just got to go home and speak. Be thou removed. Watch me. However it happened, God made the devil. He is a created being. You can use a ball bat, you can scream and holler all you want to, but if you ever get the Holy Ghost hovering above you, that's all it takes, man. Just get the Holy Ghost hovering above you. Just get under the spout where the glory comes out, as they used to say. And when you're there, just open up your mouth and say, oh, by the way, devil, I've noticed. I've noticed. No. It can't be that easy. It is that easy. And it's the fact that you don't think it's that easy that causes you not to speak. My 14-year-old boy, when he was coming into this world, and I'm really done. When he was coming into this world, had some difficulties. And was in the hospital room, my wife, and they had just put the, I think it's potassium or something that induces labor, whatever the chemical is. They just started the IV with her. And about 2 or 3 minutes into it, my wife stiffened in a way I've never seen her body convulse. It was freakish in nature. And they had just put the leads into my son's head. They were monitoring him. There was a little complications. And so the heartbeat we were hearing, watching the oxygen level. And the minute my wife went into that, they called it a titanic contraction. Every muscle in her body convulsed at the same time. It literally crushed 13 minutes and some seconds. That child didn't have a heartbeat. That child didn't breathe. And in that 13 minutes, it seems like an eternity. And they're pushing me out of the way, and they're prepping her for emergency surgery. Nurses are being called. Doctors are running in. It is pandemonium. And I heard something say, he's dead. He's dead. You might as well accept it. He's dead. And I bowed my head, and I accepted the fact. I just lost my son. Until something brooded. And I backed out of that room. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I backed out of that room. I walked out to the door and I put my head against the hallway. And I said, God, you didn't send me to Orange County to bury this baby. And I just won't accept the fact he's dead. In the name of Jesus, let life come now. And I got off the wall, and I walked back into that room, and I got as close to that hospital bed as I could. Nothing happened. A minute went by. 2 minutes. Somewhere into that third or fourth minute, I felt the brooding. And all of a sudden, and the doctor ceased the emergency surgeries. And everybody took a deep breath. And she delivered that baby normal. Now, there are times I think he's affected. He's 14. But he's not. What happened? I don't want to hype you, and I don't want this to be pep rally, and I don't need cheerleaders with pom-poms. I just need to ignite something with as little passion as possible, because when your passion's dead, so just listen to them. Let's just talk a minute. If you don't find your voice, if the United Pentecostal Church doesn't figure out how to incite the brethren to find their voice, when you pray, it has a completely different tone. Don't misunderstand me. Than when she prays. She's from you. She's out of you. First Adam got his wife from his side, right? So in the creative process of God, he creates the second Adam. Where did the second Adam get his bride? Same place the first one did, out of his side. For when that spear went in, out come blood and... Is that not the death burial process? Is that not salvation? Is that not where the bride come from? You see the typology? The church is the femininity. We've got to find this, brethren. We can sing the right song, and we can get the beats going, and we can shout and talk in tongues and jump up and down. And all that's great. It's needed. It's mandated. But that doesn't compensate for what I'm trying to put in us tonight. Until you figure out, look up here at me. When the enemy hears your voice, it divinely recognizes, I know whose that is. He doesn't see you. He doesn't fear me. He doesn't fear you. But he recognizes when you speak. That's what kicked me out of heaven. That's what kicked me out of the garden. That's what walked into my own throne room and held out his hands, and I had to render back death and hell. He's not going to fight you. I know. It goes a little contrary to spiritual warfare, doesn't it? You know. All I'm telling you to do is find your voice and speak. How many's ever seen a devil cast out? Other day at the church, Holy Ghost got to working, things got to moving, and this person had some issues, and a few folk wanted to wrestle with it. A few folk wanted to, I guess have a wrestling match and see who was the strongest. I don't know what they were planning on doing. And I just simply walked over and said, this isn't how it operates. This isn't how we do this. Move away. Leave her alone. Look at me. In the name of Jesus, be loosed. Spirits go, and immediately. Something's working in this place tonight. But we're so used to being pumped up and excited about it that when we hear the simplistic fact of the matter, speak. 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 Just open your mouth. Just open your mouth. Just open your mouth. I know it's uncomfortable because we're men. This is not our nature. This is why we're uncomfortable even here in this altar call. But if you will find your voice, if you will find the voice of the Spirit and speak and speak, try it. Try it right now. Try it right now. Come on, man of God. 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 Keep praying, and now your nature's kicking in, and you're saying, but if you open up your mouth, and if you say things, and you reveal things, and it doesn't happen, you can't fear this. I'm not telling you you are God. I'm telling you you had the same spirit as. It will understand your voice. It will understand your voice. I don't think we've reached where we ought to get to yet. I think if we'll try one more time. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's not feminine. If you want to reach over and join the man next to you, put your hand on his shoulder, stand a little. It's okay. It's okay. If you want to join together and draw strength from, if your voice, if you're so weary, if you just can't get it by you, it's okay. That's it. I'm hearing men now.
Men that are not ashamed. Men that are not bashful. Men that are not fearful. God will hear you. I said, God will hear you. God will hear you. Come on, sir. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, sir, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Just a minute here. Just lift your voice. That's it. That's it. Release it. Wherefore God is able. Wherefore God is able. We know it's God. But if God's going to do it, God's going to do it through me. Devil. Devil. Spirit of principality and power. I've not come to kick and scream and fight. But I have come to say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, man of God. Come on, sir. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. I need some men to lift your voice. I want you to do me a favor here. And I understand that this is men's and machoism and masculinity is at stake here. But if you're here and you can be a man and admit, you know, preacher, I don't know that I know if I even have a voice. Preacher, it's been so long since I spoke, I wouldn't even recognize my own voice if I heard it. Let me tell you something, brother. There's a weariness in the church that the church has never had. There is a spiritual fatigue the church has never battled. And if we don't get honest with it, if we don't fess up to it, we're the losers. If you're here tonight, if you're here, you just admit, you're just going to be man enough to step out and say, you know what? I need some help. I've lost my voice. It's not a weakness. It's not a bad thing if you can admit it. What's bad is when you ignore it and hide it. The danger is when you don't acknowledge it. Come on, Adam. Don't stand behind that. Don't let that spirit speak to things that you're supposed to protect. Thank you, brother. How about somebody else tonight? We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call tonight. Is this all right? Can we just do me a favor? Don't kneel, because we men, we're going to walk in this. We're going to walk up here and we're going to walk with authority and we're going to pray with. Thank you for coming. When you get here, I just want you to lift your hands. Come on, firmly, on purpose, with divine destiny, with an understanding that I am a man. Pray. Pray until you feel the hovering. Don't stop. Pray until you feel the hovering. And when the Spirit broods, when it rests upon, you will know what to speak. You will know when to speak. You will not err. Come on, brother. Get under the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost direct you. Let the Holy Ghost anoint your vocal cords. I believe with all of my heart that there's nothing the devil fears more than what he's witnessing right now. I am convinced that the devil fears nothing more than what you're doing right now. Men of God who are finding their voice and they're speaking. They're speaking. Come on, brother, turn the light on. Turn the light on. He anointed you. He equipped you to reveal what's in the dark. Hey, don't be afraid to reach over and lay hands on your brother. Don't be afraid to pray for your brother. You have a word. You might be the voice to turn the light on of his dark moment. Come on, brother. There's nobody more equipped for this hour than you are. Nobody. Nobody. God didn't make a mistake. You're the man. You're the voice. You are equipped. Have your
Let me say something here, and I'm not trying to take advantage of the liberties that has been afforded to me, but I'm in this for broke. I mean, it's all or nothing with me right now. And so I don't have time to play games. I don't preach places that's not serious. You're not going to get a sermon from me. I'm just telling you about how I am. Okay? Brethren, look at me. We are creatures of habit. We were created to live in five senses. Anything that does not exist in those five senses, we're afraid of. We fear. We react to it, or we purposely act from it, by it, with it. You're not going to get what God has designed you for, standing in an altar, passively waiting. I don't mean this to be an insult, but that's what your wife does. She's the femininity. You're supposed to kick something. Men were made to go. My wife wasn't made to do that. That's what my wife does. Me? I kick things. I get mad. Am I right? That's the nature of a man. We scream. And here we are on the altar. That's not your nature. You have picked up a nature that does not belong to you. Leave that nature where it's supposed to be. Define yourself by the nature God created you in and by. Be the man. Men spit. Mouth's too dry. What are we doing? What are we doing? Have we come just to have a men's conference and because it's the time of year it is and we got 7 or 8 services and we're going, I mean, really? 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 It's dark out there. I said there's a darkness in the earth today. And you got the light switch in your hands. And we're acting like we don't know what to do with it. There ought to be a shout of dominion and authority and not a bunch of weak sissy men. That's it. This is what the devil fears. Men that know their